Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Wednesday. It is 7 p.m. And this is Matt Chat live on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Ace Diamond, and I am joined by NWF Hall of Fame ring announcer, Miss Callie.
Good evening, Ace. How are you?
If I was any better, I'd be twins.
I'm going to leave that alone. Anyway, but we're not here to talk about us. We're actually here to talk about professional wrestling. And on the subject of professional wrestling, my personal opinion, way too many fly-by nights, but I must say this, and I mean this wholeheartedly, as a graduate of Bone Crushers. If you want to train to be a professional wrestler, referee, ring announcer, ring valet, anything to do with the professional wrestling business.
Manager.
From the bottom. Yes, even managers. Bone Crushers Pro Wrestling Training Center, 6105 Vine Street in Elma Place. I kid you not, it is the best place to go. And the pricing, I'm telling you now, I won't disclose what it is, but you can't beat it. To get trained properly and to learn everything you need to learn to get the groundwork to build a career, that is absolutely the best place to go for the money. I mean, yeah, you'll find places that'll say, oh, yeah, you know, we'll train you for free or we'll train you for like $500. I am telling you now. There's some places that they'll maybe show you a couple things, and that's great. But for to learn, to get that solid foundation to build on, to meet the people that have connections, that is truly, in my opinion, the place to be. I'm not going to say it's the only place, but to me it's the best place. I might be a little bit biased there, but that's to be expected. Like you said, I am the NWF Hall of Fame ring announcer right now, and I'm telling you, I love that company. I love this business, and there's no place I would suggest to anybody over that. And speaking of Bone Crushers, speaking of the Northern Wrestling Federation, what a tremendous, and I do mean tremendous show we had this past Saturday night at the UAW Hall in Fairfield. I mean, top to bottom, front to back, don't matter how you looked at it, it was exciting, it was hot. It was, as always, the best bang for the buck you can get in professional wrestling. I mean, even, you know, most people say, you know, like your pre-show matches, they're kind of, you know, meh. I'm telling you now, they had some of the best talent around. New, some experienced. We had debuts this past Saturday. I mean, it was incredible. The crowd is always on fire. They are the fans of the Northern Wrestling Federation. New, old, young, middle-aged. It doesn't matter if you're a brand-new fan, if you've been there for forever, if you've followed us for the last 20-plus years, if you're a small child, if you're somebody that's grown up with the company, we've got the greatest fans out there. And they let us know exactly how they feel. And I'm telling you now, they were hot for that action Saturday. We saw the debut of Jameson as he took on one of the upcoming superstars in the NWF, the Star Rider. Star Rider did pick up a very hard-fought victory against a very experienced Jameson, who, as I said, made his debut in the Northern Wrestling Federation. So look forward to seeing him again. Hope he comes back soon because he's exciting, he's charismatic, and like somebody like Jameson brings a lot to the table. We saw in singles action one half of the former Northern Wrestling Federation Tag Team Champions, David Tyler, pick up what I would call a very controversial win over the young upstarter, Josh Adams. Now, this is 2 weeks in a row now, and my partner, Sean Bossman, asked David Tyler after the show about this. This is twice now he has been accused of pulling the tights of Josh Adams to pick up this victory. So I don't know if – maybe I had a bad angle because I didn't see it this time. I know that's what it kind of looked like in Covington, but I didn't really have a clear angle to see, you know, if he had the tights or not when he pinned Josh Adams. But it's very uncharacteristic of young David Tyler because he's always been such an upstanding young man. He's athletic. He's got so much talent. I don't know if you've had a chance to talk with the young man or not, but he definitely does not need to stoop to the level of pulling somebody's tights to pick up a victory.
I have not had the pleasure of speaking to David Tyler.
I've seen him. I've watched him for the last couple of years. I mean, there's no reason for him to stoop to that level. He's kind of like a he's more ground oriented for the most part, but he can fly when he needs to, and he's got the skills. Basically, he doesn't need to take the shortcuts. Now, if he stoops to that level, I cannot say I'd be very disappointed in that fact, and I hope that was just a whole, you know, mix-up, misunderstanding, accident, whatever, because I would hate to see him fall into that pattern. Speaking of people that have fallen into the pattern of liking to take the shortcuts, we saw the return of the self-proclaimed 22-year-old stud to Fairfield this past Saturday as Jay Donaldson took on the returning Aaron Extreme. Now, I'll tell you what, Aaron did bring his A game, but the wily veteran picked up that victory, and I have to tell you, I felt bad for Aaron losing to Jay Donaldson. Not that Jay doesn't deserve a win, because, again, he's another one that has the skills, that doesn't need to stoop to that level, but has found it easier to take the shortcuts. And I know you saw Jay Donaldson over the years. You know as well as I do. He is athletically gifted. He's charismatic. And
you know, those are two guys that I'm very familiar with, both of them. Followed both of their careers for quite a long time. I have to imagine that had to be an outstanding match. And yes, Jay Donaldson is one of the most athletically gifted guys in the NWF.
Most definitely. And where he's concerned, if you're a fan, you either love him or you hate him, or you just love to hate him. One of the with him, there's not usually a lot of gray area. People either are completely behind the man, or they just want to see somebody punch his lights out. And right now, I'd like to sock him in the mouth. But, you know, credit where credit's due, though. He's got skills. The man has got some skills.
He definitely does.
Speaking of Jay Donaldson, his best friend, the greatest villain of all time, by God, Ryan Stone, was in action against Jordan Clearwater. Now, obviously, the experience edge is going to go to Ryan Stone in that match, just for the fact of Ryan Stone's been around as long, if not a little bit longer, than Jay Donaldson. And that experience came into play as he picked up a hard-fought victory over Jordan Clearwater, who's looking to get back on that winning track. Just came up a little bit short in Fairfield. I'm going to tell you now, I know there had to be a heartbreaking loss to Stone, but Clearwater, the kid's got what it takes. He's somebody that, in at some point or another is going to make it somewhere. So, I mean, it's like,
So what can you say? Stone is the greatest villain of all time for a reason.
Right. He can be a real horse's ass someday, but yeah, you're right. He was not given the moniker greatest villain of all time for no reason. Speaking of great villains, can't quite put him in the same category with Stone, but Nasty Russ, who actually came out and for whatever reason just pissed off that he didn't have a match last Fairfield, attacked Jesse Fairfield's favorite son, Jesse Hyde. Now, I mean, you heard when Alex Hayden and I spoke last week coming into Fairfield. Not quite sure why Russ chose Jesse Hyde. But obviously, Jesse Hyde brought more to that fight than Nasty Russ was expecting, because Jesse Hyde did pick up the victory. He did pin Nasty Russ's shoulders to the mat. And I've got to say, bravo, Jesse Hyde. But I don't know that one's over just quite yet. Those two, obviously they've both been around for a long time. They've got a history. That's one I think we're just going to have to keep an eye on, wait and see what happens there. Lexus Montez puts the unified title on the line against Christopher Michael Lotus. Again, two very gifted individuals. Lotus has played on the dark side. He's turned things around, though. He's, pretty much walking the straight and narrow, setting a good example. Unfortunately, the very young, very brash, very talented Lexus Montez, again, stooped to underhanded tactics, using the ring bell to his advantage. Now, didn't quite clock Lotus with it this time, but he did use it to his advantage. Got the pin on Christopher Michael Lotus, who proceeded to kick him in the face and hit him with the ring bell after the match. All I can say is Montez got what he deserved on that one.
Certainly.
And I hope like hell Lotus gets another crack at him. A newer alliance that's formed as of late, we've seen Brody Cormick and Adam Swayze kind of working together. Kind of, helping each other out. And that friendship or that alliance came into play when Brody Cormick took on probably one of the strongest men to step foot in the Northern Wrestling Federation, legendary Larry D. Now, you know as well as I do, Larry D is a big boy, and there ain't no bones about it. If you have a match with Larry D, you best bring your breakfast, your lunch, your dinner, a couple snacks, because it is going to be a long, long day for you in that match. That is very true. You probably should. The man is ungodly strong. He's athletic. He's deceptively quick for a man his size. And I'm going to be honest. I wouldn't want to cross him. I wouldn't want to piss him off.
Neither would I.
However, unfortunately, that is not the case with Swayze and Brody Cormick, because Swayze did come out, cause a distraction, which gave Brody Cormick the opportunity to pick up a victory over the legendary one, Mr. Larry D himself. We had the Crimson Mafia, the Northern Wrestling Federation Tag Team Champions. They defended those titles against the Natty Boys, the team of Dustin Jobs and Stewie Staggs. And let me tell you, that is one hard-hitting, hard-fought match. It don't matter what way you look at that. The biggest thing you have to watch for with a match like that was, of course, the outside interference of Wildcat Chris Harris, who is always, always ringside with the Mafia. Unfortunately, the Natty Boys did come up a bit short. Crimson Mafia did retain those titles. You know, I think we need to review footage on that. I think they deserve another crack at the Mafia, and I think somebody needs to be out there to keep Wildcat Chris Harris in line, because it doesn't matter if he's just a distraction, if he's physically involved. He is a problem when he is ringside. It's that odd man advantage there. The Crimson Mafia knows how to use the numbers to their advantage. They do it every time, and something needs to be said or done about it, because I'm telling you now, they might have gotten those titles from David Tyler and Jordan Clearwater. The referee may not have seen Wildcat Chris Harris prevent David Tyler from breaking up that pinfall, but I am telling you now, that man is dangerous to have at ringside, and something needs to be done. I think I'm going to personally speak to Nate Pelley about that. We had Alex Hayden in a gauntlet match. Now, this is my opinion. He had a clean win. Pinned Pompano Joe's shoulders to the mat when we were in Fairfield in January. That, to me, should have given him a title shot right there. Pompano Joe was like, no. Not putting my title on the line. He has to defeat two opponents of my choosing. And let me tell you what, Pompano Joe dug deep to find those opponents, because they were not meant to be taken lightly. So Alex Hayden did not have to defeat just one person. He had to defeat two different opponents consecutively. First man that Pompano Joe sat there, and keep in mind this, Pompano Joe was ringside for this. So not only did you have to worry about the person you're facing in the match, you had to worry about Pompano Joe being out there at his interference. First man to come out, the returning Doug Charles. Now, you know as well as I do, Doug Charles cannot be taken lightly. He might be a little bit smaller in stature as far as size goes, but I'm telling you now, he can hit as hard as anybody else that I've ever seen, and he's not somebody you can turn your back on. I've seen him play it straight, and I've seen him where he's, you know, not afraid to cross that line. And considering Pompano Joe brought him in, Pompano Joe, I'm sure, paid him plenty to cross the line to prevent Alex Hayden from even trying to get a shot. He managed to pick up the victory over Doug Charles. But then, here comes opponent number two, the returning part of the Revolution, Malachi, came out. Now, that's another big man. I mean, you got Alex Hayden, who he's a very husky individual, like we talked about. He's, you know, but he's deceptively quick, which, you know, works to his advantage. But then you've got Malachi, who can pretty well match size, match strength. He's got the height advantage. But power for power, he can match with Alex Hayden. Again, like I said, you still have Pompano Joe ringside, so that's a dangerous situation. Alex Hayden did manage to pick up the victory over both gentlemen, earning a shot at Pompano Joe on our return to Fairfield. In our main event, it was the Northern Wrestling Federation champion, the Titan, going one-on-one with Adam Swayze, Gideon Weinstein ringside, that starry, pathetic schmuck, as he likes to call everybody else, used car salesman wannabe.
Don't insult you car salesman like that.
I said said wannabe. I didn't say he was one. But, you know, they had their ducks in a row. Gideon Weinstein's butt was on the line because if Titan got that win and was able to retain that title, he got Gideon Weinstein in the ring for 5 minutes after that match. However, not really to too many people's surprise, Brody Cormick came down ringside during that match. Behind the referee's back, tried to toss his baseball bat in to Swayze. Unfortunately for Swayze, he missed the bat, and Titan caught it. However, also unfortunately, the referee did see the Titan crack Swayze with that bat, causing the disqualification. Cormick and Swayze did try to attack Titan after the match. Titan was a little smarter, a little more aware this time. Actually shoved Swayze into Cormick, causing what some people would consider a rather large miscommunication. Those two actually exited the ring bickering with one another, thus setting up, on our return to Fairfield, there will be a triple threat match for the Northern Wrestling Federation Championship. Brody Cormick, Adam Swayze, and the Northern Wrestling Federation champion, the Titan. Those three men will meet in a triple threat match when we return to Fairfield at the NWF Rumble for that championship. I've got to say, that's really a toss-up because Brody Cormick's been there for quite some time. He's a veteran. He's experienced. The Titan also knows him very well because they've both been around for quite some time, so they've had a chance to kind of scout each other a little bit more. Then you've got Swayze. Young, upstart, very brash, very cocky, very athletic, though. Somebody that can actually get in there. He's who I would think is the X factor in that match. He's kind of the unknown variable to an extent, because we don't know 100% what he's capable of yet. So I guess we're kind of going to have to wait and see, you know, what progresses as far as Mr. Swayze, Brody Cormick, and the Titan is concerned. Where is this leading, you know? Will the Titan be able to retain against two competitors? Or will we have a new Northern Wrestling Federation champion? That is yet to be determined. Speaking of good wrestling action. Yes, sir?
The NWF office doesn't like to make it easy on the Titan, do they?
Well, I can't say that, you know, Titan calls himself the king of the fight. He's willing to defend that title anytime, any place, anywhere against anybody. It just so happens that these two individuals, now granted, he gave Swayze the rematch. He's given Swayze a couple matches. You know, and that's been one-on-one for the most part, except for, you know, his new agent, Gideon Weinstein, being out there. I don't think anybody planned on Brody Cormick ever becoming involved in that. I know that alliance was rather shocking to me. However, credit where credit's due, Brody is somebody that I think deserves a shot at the title. And he's going to get that shot. Now here's the other good question. Yeah, the two guys, Cormick and Swayze, they've kind of worked together, but obviously there is a little bit of dissension there. Will those two be able to work together long enough for either one of them to pin the Titan, or is one going to stab the other one in the back? Because I wouldn't trust either one of them.
No, I wouldn't.
I think they'll try to work together for a little while, but I think when push comes to shove, I think they're both a little too self-centered and egotistical to stay partnered up for very long. That match itself, that triple threat match, is going to come down to who makes the mistakes. Who makes the first mistake and who turns on who? Can those two coexist? Can they put the Titan down long enough to pick up a pinfall or keep him out of the match long enough for one of them to stab the other one in the back and pick up a pinfall on their supposed associate? Because I don't know that I would necessarily call them friends, but I think they're definitely what I would call working associates. Got to tell you, that could be a very scary thought. But wrestling fans, mark these dates down, mark your calendars, because the NWF is on the road. We will return to 6105 Vine Street in Elmwood Place this Saturday. Remember, folks, the doors open at 6 p.m. at Bone Crushers. Bell time is 7 o'clock. We do have plenty of parking, but if you want front row seats, get there early. That is Saturday, March the 3rd. And then on Saturday night, March 24th, we head to Fairfield for the NWF Rumble. Tickets for that event will be available at all live Northern Wrestling Federation events, as well as the BP station on Main Street in Hamilton. Be sure you get those tickets in advance. General admission are 8 in advance, 10 at the door. VIPs, $15. Well worth the price on those. And then on Saturday, April the 7th, we return to Hits in Covington, Kentucky for an exciting night of Northern Wrestling Federation action. Again, you can pick up those tickets at Hits as well as Northern Wrestling Federation live events. And then our big return to the Clinton County Fairgrounds in Wilmington, Ohio will be on Saturday night, May the 5th. So be sure you join us, mark those dates. And remember, this Saturday we will be at Bone Crushers on March the 3rd. Doors open at 6, 7 p.m. bell time. Ace Diamond, I look forward to seeing you at one of these events sometime in the near future.
Before you go, there is the matter of our show next week.
Cannot forget that. It is huge. We will be welcoming to Match Chat none other than the upcoming sensation, Brian Pillman Jr., to the show. So make sure you mark that down.
I don't know about you, but I am very excited to speak to this young man.
Oh, my goodness, yes. There's so many questions that, you know, I would personally like to ask. I know, I'm sure our fans have questions they would like to know. I mean, the young man was bred to be in this sport. He was born
Absolutely.
For this business. And, you know, I'm very excited to, you know, get a chance. Obviously, this was a interview we had planned once before. We, due to some communication errors, that we did have to reschedule that. But next Wednesday, 7 p.m. on Match Chat, we will have Brian Pillman Jr. on the show. So make sure you tune in. Make sure you check out the Northern Wrestling. I'm sorry?
I said it's going to be a heck of a show.
Yes, it will. And make sure you check out the Northern Wrestling Federation hotline at 513-5704-NWF. Ace Diamond, have a good night.
Miss Kelly, you do the same.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was NWF Hall of Fame ring announcer Miss Kelly. For her, myself, and the staff of Match Chat, have a good night, everybody. We'll see you next week.